This is Member Care Media, a ministry of TWR, with some thoughts to help you in your work and daily life. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Again, this is your friend Brent and my friend Ken.
Hi there.
And we're here in our fourth installment on grace and truth. I think we need to call it giving grace because we keep getting back to the idea of giving each other and ourselves grace. But today we're going to talk about another aspect. Go ahead, Ken, start it off.
Maybe we can add to that giving and receiving grace as well, Brent.
Ooh, yeah, I like
that. Because as we receive grace, we are so blessed. Well, we've discussed in the last several times how Christ was full of grace and truth from John 1:14. I think of a couple examples of how Christ showed this grace and truth.
Okay.
For example, to the woman who was caught in a sin, the truth was she was guilty. Here were her accusers facing her, pointing their fingers. G-U-I-L-T-Y, guilty, there was no doubt about it. Christ, on the other hand, the perfect expression of grace, said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Okay, here we have a balance of truth and grace. The truth condemned, and that was correct. Grace says, "I forgive." And that is the amazing, wonderful expression of God's love through Christ. You know, Steve Amerson, the soloist, has well written, "We cannot help our brother if our hand still holds a stone. There must be a place where shame meets grace, and this must be the place."
Wow, you're saying some important stuff there. If I don't receive grace, I'm not going to be that good at giving it.
That's interesting. That's so true.
If I'm not willing to experience what that freedom is, that the freedom that I have received, that free gift, if I'm not willing to experience that to the degree that I need to, it's going to be hard for me to share that, to pass that on, to pay it forward, to quote a movie title that I recently heard about.
Oh, Brent, I think that is exactly right on target. As we have received that grace, we're freed up to offer it to others. Out of a full heart, out of gratefulness, we can say, "Yes, and I pass on this love and acceptance unconditionally to you."
That is so true. And it's a two-way street, you know? Things are freely given and received. There's two parts to a gift. There's the gift that is given, but then there's the gift that is received.
Yes.
And we talked a lot about that when I was doing cross-cultural training in terms of, you go to a place where you're going to learn a language, and you may not have a good opportunity, or you may have a good opportunity. But the critical thing is not just the opportunity. It's what you do with the opportunity.
That's right.
You know, and I think that relates right here. Is it, as you try and figure out how to live well in some of these places, are you receiving grace as well as giving it? Now, that's really an interesting thing. I want to walk down this pathway with you here.
Yes.
And that is, what does that have to do with living in a place that you may not feel especially welcome in, or that feels very different? Well, I think it's to the grace that you receive from them, that you take what is offered, gets back at this issue of, can you adjust your expectations? Can I accept that while this is a poor excuse for a park in Southern California, it doesn't have grass, it has a couple of trees, a couple of benches, and it's just 20 below zero or whatever.
Sure.
Can I accept what is offered? Because the other people are making use of that. There are swings or whatever exists in some parks in some places of the world. I don't know. But people are making life out of those circumstances. They are accepting the grace, if you will. I talked about taking a mini vacation, and you know, I talk about my favorite mini vacation is Starbucks. Well, you know, the very concrete thinker is going to say, "Oh, well, I'm in trouble. There's no Starbucks here." Well, it has nothing to do with Starbucks, but everything to do with finding a place to take what is offered and to relax. And so the receiving the grace as a person here is very important, that we look and say, can I take what is given? Then all of a sudden it's, wow, I never noticed this about this place. Wow. And then before you know it, it's, hey, I can do this and I can't do this back where I come from.
Well, sure. And last time you talked about perfectionism and how that sometimes our standards, which are so high and good, can stand in the way of the best in the sense of learning or applying or communicating. And right along those lines, I think of some years ago when my wife and I were in language school in Costa Rica to learn the Spanish language. To the best of my memory, I was playing the piano for a church service, and the pastor announced a psalm, and I thought it was a himno, a song. So I turned to the hymn number, and I started to play as they were beginning to read scripture. The grace that was shown by that loving congregation. Thankfully, it was small.
Yeah.
But that encouraged me to keep learning and keep trying and not take those errors too seriously.
Right. Yeah, you have to kind of pick yourself up and keep going. And in most situations, the consequences aren't terminal, you know? I mean, it's not like if you make a mistake and call something A instead of B that you're going to be dealt with extremely harshly. It's just that, well, sometimes we're our own worst enemy and the embarrassment that we feel. So, you know, receiving grace is so important. Got anything else there on that?
Well, I had one more thought. Mm-hmm. Probably the supreme example of grace and truth occurred at the end of Christ's life, just before he was killed. The truth is, and was at that time, that we are all sinners. We cannot save ourselves. Only Christ, the perfect Son of God, could pay the terrible price for our sin. And of course, we must believe on him for eternal life. Those are the facts. Those are the expressions of truth. But then grace comes in. When we place our faith in Christ, we experience his grace, his acceptance. To the thief dying next to him, Christ said, "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." Wow, what an expression of grace and truth.
Yeah, the promise there is incredible. And in his entire life, Christ was modeling, if you will, grace in all
Absolutely.
Of his actions. And so as we look at how that relates to us, can we move more from a... If we are this way, some of us may be naturally born grace givers, and that's wonderful, but maybe some of us need to work a little bit on our criticalness. So as we work through these things, can we become even more grace giving? And then at the same time, can we become more grace receiving? I think if we are able to do both of those things, we'll make some real progress. We're about ready to draw a close to Ken and my time together here. And
it's been good to be with you. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Ken. And I'm looking forward to more talks on some of these issues as we try and pick apart and look at under new ways some of these important concepts that many of the listeners know and look at them from a little bit more of a cross-cultural perspective than we might be normally used to doing. But in the meantime, keep looking at how to give away grace and receive grace.
That's right.
Again, this is your friend Brent, and I'm just putting a few closing comments on this series that Ken and I just completed on grace and truth. I found myself going back repeatedly to the whole issue of the freedom that this whole concept of grace gives us, and I didn't want to let this end as it is without making some more comments in this context. Most of us are working in places that are not normal for us. They're completely different, very different to completely different, and all the rules are changed. Everything is different, and we're making mistakes. And maybe there are people who really don't want us to succeed around us, and they're making life miserable too. And all of that is why I think it's so important to give grace. Because if you give grace, there's some really interesting psychological things that go on when you give grace. First of all, when you give away grace, when you give away this love, if you will, you're reducing the power that the negative has over you. It's like you're saying, in effect, it doesn't matter to me what my circumstances are. What I'm going to do is to take those circumstances and make them positive. In the United States, we have a saying that says, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Well, it's the same kind of concept. It also is said in a saying that says, bloom where you're planted. If you're not from North America, maybe you have some sayings that would be similar, that talk about that, that give you the opportunity to turn things around. And this whole concept of grace gives us that opportunity to turn things around. You can make a difference in your life by deciding that you're going to focus on those other things as opposed to the more negative things that happen to you. When I talk to people who've been through tremendous suffering or stress or strain, what I find is that those people who seem to have come through it the best have been people who were able to do that. You know, somebody says, well, you know, it made me realize, somebody who lost a leg, for example, that I could get around and life was worth more than having two legs or one eye or something like that. My father, when he was a young man, 60 years ago, lost an eye. And I never once heard him complain. I mean, his whole, if you want to know what it's like to just have one eye, put a hand over one of your eyes and you lose half of your visual field. What must it have been like? How many things could he not have done? And yet I never heard him focus on what he couldn't do. I heard him focus on what he could do. Or he never said anything about it. He just went ahead and did things. Sure, his depth perception was challenged. And sure, sometimes when he tried to do things that wouldn't be as easy, but it never prevented him from living a full and productive life. He gave grace. I think, like most of us, it was a little hard for him to receive grace, but I always appreciated that about him too, that he was able to give and receive grace. And everywhere he walked, whether it was in the hallways of the university that he taught for 30 years, or in the hallways of our family home, or in churches, or in conferences. People still come up to me all the time, even though he's still living. It's not like he's passed away, but they tell me stories about that. I grew up hearing stories about the grace that my father gave away. And that made me have a completely different attitude about him. And I decided when I started being a father that I wanted to do things that other people would find useful or helpful or graceful, if you will, and that they would say things about that to my son. It made a difference to him in that he is used to seeing me through the eyes of other people as well. It certainly made the storm and drama of adolescence be a little bit less because he knew that I was more than just the crabby guy who slept on the couch watching TV. But he knew that there were people out there that I had been helping, that I had given grace to. And I just recently, he's of the age where he's trying to apply to college, and he got asked to come in for an interview in one place. And he came back and he was sharing with me what he was doing. He talked about how much he talked about me. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, this is supposed to be about you. It's not supposed to be about me. You're the one that they want to see if they want to let into the school. And my heart was tremendously touched because he was proud of me. He thought I was doing something that was worthwhile in the world today, and he wanted other people to hear about it. And he was really happy to tell about that. It's embarrassing for me to say this, but I have to receive the grace that he gave me. And I have to do that because that enables him to enjoy his more too, if you know what I mean. So as you're processing through all of this, think about what you're giving out. Even to the point of what it does to the family around you, or the team around you, or the coworkers around you. Is it making a difference? I would rather have people talking about me behind my back saying good things than having people talking behind my back saying bad things. People talk, you know, but once again, it gets back to that example I was talking about earlier. If someone were to follow me around and interview the people that I related to, what would they say? I would really want them to be saying positive things or at least neutral things, but coupled with a desire to want to get to know me more. And those of you that are just getting to go into a new context and you don't know anything and you don't know the rules or you're uncomfortable with it, don't look for people to be swayed completely by you from one simple conversation. Look for them to be interested and inquisitive. That's going to make all the difference in the world for how you mark your pathway in this new context. Maybe that was a little bit of a wander for you, but I think that as you go through the next period of time, as we switch to a different topic or whatever, I want you to think about what specifically you can do. Now, also, I want you to think about ways in which the people that live where you are give grace and receive grace from each other. I wouldn't be surprised if you came back and said, I've looked and I can't see it, but it's there. Once again, it's my belief that every culture has a rule or many rules. It's just that we don't know them if we're sitting on the outside looking in, and we won't ever find that out. But ask people questions like, well, how do people encourage one another? You know, if you went up and say, well, how do people give grace? They might say, what? I don't know what that means. So use language, use words that people will understand. What would be an example? I think back the first time I really got to know people who were from Latin America or people who lived around the Mediterranean Sea, and I'd watch them talk. And this goes on other places too. But if you look at somebody in deep conversation, it almost looks like they're angry with each other. Their arms are gesturing, they're standing close, looking at each other, their voices are raised, their brow is furrowed. It looks just like they're angry. And I was showing somebody that one time, and I said, so what do you see there? Oh, man, they're about ready to start hitting each other. I said, wait a minute, wait till the end. What do you mean? Just wait, just watch. And at the end, they smiled, and they hugged and kissed each other on each cheek, and they waved goodbye. And my friend was flabbergasted. What did that mean? I said, well, what you saw was two people who had high regard for each other, communicating with passion because they cared for the other person. And that was how they did it. That wasn't an argument. That was a dialogue. That wasn't anger. That was passion. So as you think about all of this, people operate by many different rules. Give grace, receive grace, give the kind of grace to the other people that they will know what to do with, and have fun. Talk to you next time.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.